It's a privilege in a church to have those that give their life to the work of the local church and the ministry and support and help in whatever way they can. That's a tremendous blessing to a local church and a pastor. And those that we've been hearing from on Wednesday evening are those that just give themselves to the work of God here at the local church. And I appreciate Jason and his family. And they're always there involved in whatever is happening, whatever needs to be done. And Brother Jason's going to be ministering tonight, and we're going to hear from heaven. Just open your hearts to the Word of God. We've got a few more weeks, and we'll be returning to the Bible studies on Wednesday evening. But it's been a privilege during this time to hear from different ones from the church body. So let's hear from the Word of God from Brother Jason tonight.
I appreciate that, Brother Hurst, and the opportunity to preach in the pulpit tonight. People ask me, I went to Bible school 4 years, graduated at OBI, and then I come back home. And they ask me, why ain't you left yet? Why ain't you got out of Ohio and took some job somewhere else? And I say always to them, until God calls me somewhere, I don't want to go to church anywhere else. I don't like to have to go to another church and try to feel what I feel in this place that I call home. There's nothing like being home and feeling the presence of the Lord that I feel when I come here. I've been to other churches, and I don't want to take for granted what I have. But I look forward to when, after I come home from, say, vacation, or when I'm out of town, coming back to my pastor and coming back to Union Road. This is a great place, I believe, where God is moving. And I have a thought tonight that I want to preach. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 23, it's one verse, verse 1, and Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. I'm going to cheat and use the, what Taylor said, the old-fashioned way was without it, but I'm going to do the new-fashioned way and read it off the wall. If you'll stand with me tonight, if you have it, Psalms 23, 1. Why don't we read it together, shall we? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Praise God. Philippians 4 and 19. Together, if we can again. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's pray over the word tonight that the Lord would move in this service. Father, we have reached the point of preaching the word and receiving from you. I ask right now that you would help me and guide me into ministering to someone. You, Lord, know who is here and who needs to hear this message. I pray that you would anoint us, that we would be prepared for the altar service upcoming, and that you would move for eternity's sake, Lord. We give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to ask a question to the church tonight, and you can respond by raising your hand. How many recently has allowed something to worry you? Come on, somebody. I mean, be honest. If you've recently had something worry you, pretty much all of us, all right? Well, I typically like to do my devotions in the morning at work. When I get there, it's usually the first thing I do, if not at my first break. And over the past couple days while I was reading, it felt like the Lord was just burning it on my heart to preach this message. And if I could title it, it would be Worry, Why? Worry, Why? The Greek definition of worry in the New Testament means to be divided. The definition that Germans use for the word worry is to strangle as a suffocating noose around one's neck. The definition that I like, though, is by Arthur Sommer Roche, where he says, worry is a thin stream trickling through the mind, but if encouraged, it can cut a channel where it drains all other thoughts. Worry and anxiety are common sources of misery today in people's lives. Constantly over the news, they're talking about new tested drugs on how to treat depression and how people are constantly fighting and dealing with things that are plaguing their mind. Sadly, it's even existing in our churches today. We all have our list of worries, different things that are involving our thought on a daily basis, our health and our possessions, our finances. For some in school, it's, am I going to pass this class? Is the teacher going to like me? Am I going to fit in with the crowd? For some of us parents, it's, am I going to be a good parent to my children? Am I going to have the abilities to be a good spouse? For others, it's, am I going to make it? Whatever the list is, it could go on and on. But worry, such a little word, and yet it can cripple a man's ability to do anything. Did you know that less than a glass of water can create such a dense fog that it can spread across a 7-city block 100 feet deep, crippling the entire city? It's defined that how it does that, it separates itself into 60,000 million water droplets. So small that the naked eye can't even see how many there are. Completely engulfing a city in a fog. That's exactly what the small word worry can do in a man's life. There's four problems I want to bring to your attention about worry. I'll be quick about it, and then we'll get out of the way and let the Lord move in the altars. But number one, worry is unhelpful. There was a man, an English executive. His name was Arthur Rank. And he decided in his businesses that he was going to put all of his worry aside for one day of the week. He picked Wednesdays. And so for all week, he would find whatever it came across his mind that would be worrisome. He would find a pen and paper. He would jot it down. He would wad it up and throw it in his worry box. And after 6 days of worries, on the following Wednesday, he would open his box and begin to read them. What he found amazing about it was, is as he began to unfold the jotted pieces of paper and read them, the things that worried him all 6 days behind the Wednesday had pretty much settled themselves. And he realized how unhelpful it would have been if he would have allowed those things to crowd his mind and crowd his thinking and worry about them. You see, worry, it's unhelpful because it never accomplishes anything. It doesn't solve your problems. It cannot change the past, and it certainly can't control your future. Number two, worry is unreasonable. Worry magnifies the problem currently. It makes mountains out of molehills. To worry about something you can't change is useless. Most of you know I like baseball, and in the major leagues, there was a manager by the name of Connie Mack. Back in 1901 through 1950, he managed a team by the name of the Philadelphia A's. They're no longer there, but he was there for almost 50 years. And in an interview, he said that, I discovered that worry was threatening to wreck my career as a baseball manager. I saw how foolish it was, and I forced myself to get so busy preparing to win that I had no time left to worry over the games that I had already lost. He said that it's impossible to grind grain with water that's already went downstream. And I realized that in our church, how unreasonable it is to try to get the work of God done. How unreasonable it can be to try to be anything for God if we're going to be crowded with things in the past that we can't do nothing about. Things that are occupying our thinking that we have no ability to change. Number three, the problem with worry is it's unhealthy. The psalmist David said in Psalms 32 and 3, "When I kept it inside, it aged me in my bones." Simply put, the body is not made to worry. Did you know that human beings are the only creation of God that worries? Plants don't worry. Animals certainly don't worry. But humans do. Dr. E. Stanley Jones said, "I am inwardly fashioned for faith and not for fear. Fear is not my native land. Faith is. I am so made that worry and anxiety are sand in the machinery of my life. But faith is the oil. I live better by faith and confidence than by fear, doubt, and anxiety. In anxiety and worry, my being is gasping for breath. But in faith and confidence, I breathe freely. A doctor from John Hopkins University says, I can't explain scientifically why worriers die sooner than those that don't worry, but it's true and it's fact. He said, but I'm a simple man, and this is what I believe to be true. Man is made up of cell and tissue and soul and brain. I want to get it just right how he said it. We are inwardly constructed in nerve and tissue, brain, cell, and soul for faith and not for fears. God has made us this way, and to live against it is to live against reality. It's unhealthy to harbor worries. The fourth thing that I find wrong with worry is that it's unnecessary. Ian McLaren's take on it was, what does your worry do for you? It does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It does not empty today. What it does do is empty today of its strength. It does not make you escape the evil that's around you. It makes you unfit to cope with it when it comes. God gives us the power to bear all the sorrow of His making, but He does not guarantee to give us strength to bear the burden of our own making, such as worry creates. You've heard the scripture, God will not give you more than you'll be able to bear. I believe that to be so true. But if you have worries, and if you have created stress and anxiety on top of your daily problems, it's going to be impossible for God's grace to be able to conquer all of it. It's unhealthy. It's unnecessary. Why? Why is it unnecessary? You read it with me. And the psalmist David had it right. Because the Lord is my shepherd. And tonight I just want to encourage you. The Lord is your shepherd tonight. You shall not want for anything if He's your shepherd. Trust Him to be the shepherd of your life. Trust Him to be the Lord of your life. Simply put, the Lord, the definition of the Lord is means to be in control. It's putting Him back in charge. When He is your Lord, He calls the shots. If He's not calling the shots, then He's not your Lord. And if He's not your Lord, then He certainly isn't your shepherd. You know, that's all worry really is tonight. It's a struggle for who's going to be in control. Brother Hirsch preached a sermon on, I believe it was Sunday morning, it's slipping my mind now. Help me, Jesus. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Why do we ask for all of it to be in our control and try to figure it all out when all we do is create worry and problems? But when we turn it over to the Lord, when we allow Him to be our Lord, it's simple. The battles go away so simply. What's the fix for worry? I'll be quick. Two things. Number one, consider one day at a time. Matthew 6:34 says, don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry for itself. If you take your battles all at once, you're surely to be defeated. One of the great strategies in war was to fix yourself in an area that would occupy a little bit of space so that your enemy didn't have a chance to surround you and defeat you by numbers. But if you got into a tiny space, the idea was that they would have to come at you in a small, compact area of attack, and you would be able to take them on one by one by one. Well, that's the same thing when we fight our battles. If you take on your battles all at once, you're surely to be defeated. But if you trust God, taking your troubles on one at a time, you'll find that your strength is sufficient. Planning for tomorrow may be part of today's concern, but I'm sure that worrying is not. I got one more thing, and you can stand with me as I close. But the second thing is that we need to unload everything, all of our worries, all of our anxieties, unload it through prayer. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. You could substitute that word care for worry. And it fits for the other side too. Cast all your worries on Him because He worries for you. I'm so thankful to know that no matter what's on my mind, no matter what I've got on my plate, no matter what storm I'm going through, or no matter what storm I'm currently in, or what, no matter what storm I'm coming out of, He cares for me. And I'm preaching tonight for somebody. He cares for you too. I need some help. I watched for eight or nine years, Brother Blue would do illustrations with props. Well, I've got one tonight. Andrew, would you come help me, please? I've got a simple grocery bag here. You'll notice on the front of it, I've wrote the word God. If you will take a strip of tape off of that roll, and roll it up to where it's sticky on both sides. I want you to stick it to the front of this, and we're going to put this bag on the tape, okay? Inside the bag is a whole bunch of strips of paper. Wesley, would you come here and help me too? Okay, I want you to stick that right there on the front of the pulpit. Then we're going to stick this bag. This is going to be God's bag tonight. Hopefully it'll hold. I want you to take a handful of these strips of paper. Take the whole thing. And I want you to litter them across the pews and across the altar, okay? We as a church tonight are going to close. You can stand with me and somebody comes to the music. We're going to act out our prayers and worries and petitions to the Lord. Andrew, would you help me too? Go ahead and just do what Wesley's doing all across the pews and the altar. Let's see if this will hold here. To act out the principle of turning prayers over to God, I've wrote God on this paper bag. And as you come to the altar tonight, I've got pens here. These pens are going to be for you to write on. And I want you to help me. Because as I started this sermon, I asked the whole congregation if you would participate in telling me if recently, over the last few days, anything has been on your mind that has allowed you to worry. And when you come down here and pray it with God, I want you to write it. Each concern, I don't care what it is, on a piece of paper and give it to God. The idea is once you turn it over to God, you don't want to have to... I forgot to tell you the rule. The one rule to this exercise is once you turn it over to God, if you worry about it again, you have to come back in the bag and find your scrap of paper. The idea is you don't want to have to lose time digging through all the scrap to find your worry. The idea is to leave it here and let God have it. What would be the potential of this church, of this youth group, if we would let God have all our worries and all of our anxieties and trust Him and put our faith back in our shepherd and let Him provide and let Him gather and guide and use us? What could be the potential in Trotwood, Ohio, for Union Road, if we would just be carefree, completely in God's hands? You can't say you ain't got them because you raised your hands and you admitted to me that you've got worries. I envision for Union Road to be a church that turns the world upside down. A church so used and being mightily of God that hell itself can't hold it back. But I see on a nightly basis in a daily basis, coming to church service after church service, and people who I know could have the potential of being on fire for God, who I know has every bit the talent and every bit the capability, plagued by worry, anxiety, fear, depression. It's not of God. You hear me? I'm telling you, it's not of God. And He wants to take those, and He wants to roll them up in the bag tonight and make them disappear. If you'll help me, all of us, I'm not going to call anybody out or embarrass you, but if you all would come to the altars, find a place to pray, and you pray it over with the Lord. And as you do, grab one of the pens and write it down and give it to God. Let's all come together. Let's all find a place to pray. Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. We sing the song over and over. Leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Well, let's put it into practice, church. Let's do it tonight, church. Let's leave them at the altar and let God be our shepherd again. Be our Lord. Take control, Jesus.
They failed to remember the Master was nigh. And He spoke the word, the winds all stood still, and even the waters obeyed His will. He calmed the storm, and He'll calm mine. If I'll just remember, He lives deep inside. So why should I worry, and why should I fear? The very same Jesus, He stays always near. He lives in my heart. He hears when I cry. I'll call on His name till the storm passes by. Oh, and why should I worry? Why should I fear? That very same Jesus, He stays always near. He lives in my heart. He hears when I cry. I call on His name till the storm passes by. Light to the darkness when the way grew dim. How great it would be to have His step leading mine, to walk with the Master all of the time. But then trouble came, and death was so nigh. They searched for the Master, hoping He'd get there on time. So when I'm in trouble and my body's in pain, all I have to do is just call on His name, saying, why should call on his name till the storm passes by. I read in the Bible how he walked with them. He brought light to their darkness when the way grew dim. How great it would be to have his steps leading mine, to walk with the Master all of the time. But then trouble came and death grew so nigh. They searched for the Master, hoping he'd get there on time. So when I'm in trouble and my body's in pain, all I have to do is just call on his name. And I'll say, why should I worry? And why should I fear? That very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. He calls on his name till the storm passes by. Oh, why should I worry? Tell me, why should I fear? That very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I call on his name till the storm passes by. And out on the water, the storm was raging high. The waters around them troubled their mind. With fear in their heart, they thought they might die. They failed to remember the Master was nigh. And he spoke the word, and the winds, they stood still. And even the waters obeyed his will. He'll calm their storm just like he will mine. If I just remember, he lives deep inside. Why should I worry? And why should I fear? The very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I call on his name till the storm passes by. Oh, why should I worry? Tell me, why should I fear? That very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I call on his name till the storm passes by.